Well, I'd like to briefly read to you from a June 24th, 2008 Oregonian carried article by Eric Gorski of the Associated Press, otherwise known as the AP. And this article is entitled "Believers Reveal High Tolerance." And the excerpt I want to read to you is as follows. He writes, "The United States remains a nation of believers. But a new survey finds most Americans don't believe their religion is the only way to eternal life, even if their faith tradition teaches otherwise. The findings revealed Monday in a survey of 35,000 adults can either be taken as a positive sign of growing religious tolerance or disturbing evidence that Americans dismiss or don't know fundamental teachings of their own faiths. Among the most startling numbers in the survey conducted last year by the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life, 57% of evangelical church attenders said they believe many religions can lead to eternal life, in conflict with traditional evangelical teaching. In all, 70% of Americans with a religious affiliation shared that view." And then finally this, "Nearly across the board, the majority of religious Americans believe many religions can lead to eternal life. Mainline Protestants, 83%. Members of historic black Protestant churches, 59%. Roman Catholics, 79%. Jews, 82%. And Muslims, 56%. And there are a few other items in this article that I will be drawing from as the Holy Spirit gives leadership in the next two messages, as the Holy Spirit has given leadership, that these are matters that must be addressed for God's people from God's Word. Amen? And so we want you to think about today the topic and the issue of tolerance. And understanding that while tolerance in the secular world is really no shock to us, it should shock us that 57% of evangelical Christians hold this world view. It is, after all, a what? World view. Come on, somebody. Tolerance did not originate in the church. It was imposed on the church by members who have a worldly demeanor, come on somebody, who have not divested themselves of the world, but believe in fact that the world holds a candle to the God of the Bible and his righteousness. And so it is shocking and it is amazing. It is even astounding and baffling to those who would hold to a biblical view on life, that 57% of our brethren hold to this viewpoint of tolerance. Now, as a black American, I am also personally seeing as though my life's passion has been working with our people in spreading the good news of the gospel and preaching the word of God. It is hurtful to me to learn that 59% of black Protestant churches have believers that in this doctrine that many religions can lead to eternal life. Such tolerance we need to understand. If we don't understand it now, hopefully after this message today, you will understand that this is an affront to our God. Amen. Those who hold to worldly tolerance deny the faith and deny the Christ who died on the cross to save their souls. As he leads, I will continue to warn you, don't go there. Today we talk to you on the topic, love the truth. Somebody say, love the truth. Our mission in this message is to urge us as believers in Christ Jesus to love and cling steadfastly to the truth of God that is in Him, and may I add, in Him alone. Amen. Love the truth. Stand on your feet. Find 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And find there verse 9, and I'm going to read to you from verse 9 through 11. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. And I said 11, but I'm going to read through the 12th verse. It reads, "The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." Love the truth. You may be seated. The first thing we want you to consider this morning is the source of religious tolerance and all worldly deception. The source of religious tolerance and all worldly deception. Let's give a little background. First of all, Paul has written to the Thessalonian church because they were falsely told the day of Christ had come and gone. In verses 3 through 8, Paul brings clarity by detailing what things will actually happen leading up to Christ's return. In fact, note in verse 3, the marked falling away of believers. He says there, "Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first." In the original Greek from which this is translated, it's very clear that this falling away is not just something that is a progressive kind of thing, but it is an actual marked historical event. Amen. And he says, unless this thing happens first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. And the word perdition means destruction. Amen? And Paul brings clarity to the situation by telling the Thessalonians that there are some things that must happen first before the day of Christ actually arrives. Come on, somebody. And one of those things is the falling away of believers from the faith. Amen? And I propose to you today, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that that falling away is now in progress. Or if you don't believe me, go over in your mind again the statistics that we just read about religious tolerance. Amen. We need to understand that this falling away is, in fact, in progress, and it's going somewhere. Come on, somebody. The world would have us to believe, and many of our religious leaders would have us to believe, that this is all a progressive thing, that this is all a good thing. The church is loosening up a little bit. The church is allowing itself to be more acceptable to the world, so that the world might like us a little better and want to come in and fill up our pews. But how many know God didn't leave us here for the world to like us? The Lord left us here that we might be light in darkness and salt that seasons, proclaiming to the world that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, giving praise and glory in His house today. The church isn't a man-made institution that we should carry on with our own program and our own plans that allow for the acceptance of the world. Who cares what the world thinks about what goes on in the house of God? This is the house of God. This is the outpost of the kingdom of God. Come on, somebody. Because God is honored here. Come on, somebody. Jesus is Lord of his people. And if that's just right, give the Lord a praise. We do not march to the drumbeat of the world, but we march to the drumbeat of our Lord and Savior who gave himself to save us. Watch this, church, because we forget this. He died to save us out of the world. The world is passing away, John writes in 1 John, the second chapter, the 15th through the 17th verses. He says the world is passing away. Therefore, do not what? Love the world. And you've been called out of that darkness into his marvelous light. Now, why are you going to turn back, calling yourself devising a methodology in order to make the church more acceptable to the world, to compromise the faith and the teachings once and for all handed down to the saints, that we may guard them, that we may be the pillar of the truth of God, and now compromise all of that, give all of that away just so that we can do the Rodney King thing and all just get along together. Amen. Well, we can get along together, but the point that we have to stick with in the church is to understand that for us, there's only one way to salvation. Come on, somebody. And so if you're talking about tolerating one another in terms of accepting my stance on where I believe and I don't have to compromise the word of God, amen, we're okay. But once you say I have to give up what I've been taught from the word of God in order so you can like me and we can get along together, something's wrong with that picture. And many Christians are selling out, as we read you this article to demonstrate today. And it's not just a small number. 57%, that's over half the believers or people who profess to be believers in America. And over 59% of black folk. Come on, somebody. How many know that in America we're known as the most religious folk in the nation? But once we start moving away from the foundations. Come on, somebody. Once we start getting away from the Word of God, then I wonder what we'll have left. We'll finally be exposed in many cases. I just need to keep it real with you that we've actually been a little fraudulent. Come on, somebody. Because emotion is not an indicator of the Holy Ghost any more than smoke is always an indicator of fire. Come on, somebody. And so we're going to be exposed for the fraudulent practice of Christianity that goes on in many of our cultural and religious churches anyhow, because the Holy Ghost is not in charge, but we're in charge. Come on, somebody. It's a flesh thing that's going on. And so no wonder we're not being taught the Word of God. No wonder that we're going away from the Word of God because we don't even believe it's true anymore. It's just all about me. I come to church to get my happy on, and as long as the preacher preached me happy, the choir sang me happy, I go back out the door and live the same old raggedy life I've been living. And my life is no different when I leave out than when I came in. Come on, somebody. But that's not the Christianity of the Bible. How many know the Word of God is the living Word of God? Sharper than any two-edged sword. That means the Word of God cuts you sometime. Come on, somebody. Because it goes back and forth in your life. And something ought to not still be there, amen, 50 years later after you said you was a Christian that was there when you first got saved. Come on, somebody. Because the Word of God has been cutting in your heart. God's been doing surgery. God's been doing operations on you to fix you and to make you more like who? Jesus Christ, not like the world. Come on, somebody. How many know the scripture says the world lies in the power of the wicked one? So why do you want to be conformed to the image of Satan instead of the image of Christ? The image of Satan is an image of rebellion and bucking the system of God. Come on, somebody. But the image of Christ is one of submission and obedience. Is that right, church? Now, the Antichrist, when he comes on the scene, he will come on the heels of this falling away that's taking place in the church right now. Come on, somebody. And he will declare himself to be God on earth. And the good news is, Paul writes in chapter 2, verse 8, that indeed the true God and King Jesus will destroy him at his coming. Is that all right, church? And so we are set to go now in our text, because we didn't got set up real good now, haven't we? Amen. They're just all going to fall like dominoes now. Get ready, get ready. Come on now. Here we go. Verse 9 and part of verse 10. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish. Now, this lawless one appears on the scene in God's timing after the working, that is, the scheming, the plotting, and the effort of Satan. God will allow Satan, are you hearing me, church? God will allow Satan and his demonic hordes to use their angelic powers to perform signs and lying wonders as never before in the history of the world. And why will God do this? Why will he allow this? And why will these demons use their angelic powers to perform signs and lying wonders? It will be, as we will verify later at the end of the message in the book of Revelation, to authenticate the Antichrist's claim to be God. Because if you're going to show up on this planet and talk about you God, you better start showing something. Come on, somebody. Amen. And so the Satan, who is the master deceiver, how many know he's the master deceiver, is going to use dark powers that, by the way, our people, along with all other cultures on the face of this planet, are not strangers to, because our ancestors practiced the dark arts, come on somebody, in our West African tribes and brought some of it to America. In fact, some in this nation still look up and take notice when somebody mentions the term voodoo. Where do you think that came from? That's not from the white man, y'all. That's from us and folk. That's from our folk. Amen. And but every race and tribe and culture of people, if you'll do your homework, you'll notice witchcraft, shamanism, dark arts, sorcery shows up in every culture. It goes by different names, but it's the same thing. Why? Because Satan's omnipresent? No, but Satan is always on his job. Come on, somebody. Sowing his seeds of rebellion against God. And so what is done here is really no different than what's been going on in the world, except for, and in the history of the world, except for God removes some restraints. Come on, somebody. Amen. Satan has been doing everything he's been doing like a bulldog on a leash. Come on, somebody. And God lets out the leash a little longer now by the time we get to the Antichrist. And so his claim to be God will be authenticated by these signs. And notice Paul says, what? Lying wonders. Why are they lying wonders? Not because the miracles that are done are not authentic and real. They are. But they're lying because of what they purport to support, and that is the lie that the Antichrist is God. Are you with me? Amen? And so they are lying wonders for that reason. And so the question begs to be asked, why would God do this? People are going to be deceived. Amen? Why would God do this? Even some Christians might go after him, because, you know, especially among us, come on, somebody, I'm just going to keep it real. I've been black all my life, and I'm not trying to put us down. I'm just telling you what I've observed in my short 52-year history, and what I've seen is that we're pretty gullible when it comes to the supernatural. Am I right about it? We're kind of superstitious too, aren't we? Huh? And if somebody comes along working some miracles and it really clearly looks to us to be a miracle, then that's pretty convincing proof. In fact, in the church today, one of the reasons we have this problem with all of the confusing doctrines and the tolerance that we have is because folk can come up to just about any church and say, I had a revelation from God. And they could just about say anything. And because we're so reverential to the supernatural, we let them have their space, don't we? Preachers be telling all kind of lies on God. We go, amen, preacher. People wander off the street saying God told them to do something, and we back off and let them have their space. Instead of doing what we're supposed to do, we're told in the Word of God to try the spirits. Come on, somebody. To see if they're what? From God. And if they're not from God, I don't care how black they are, we're supposed to reject them. Come on, somebody. But we're so scared we're going to hurt somebody's feelings. We've been buked and we've been scorned, so we don't want to hurt nobody's feelings, because the white man been hurting our feelings for 400 years, so we don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. Not understanding, we're sending people to hell. Come on, somebody. Because we won't tell them the truth from the Word of God. Is that right, church? And so I don't care who you are and where you come from. You come telling me you got a revelation and there's no support whatsoever in the scripture for it, I ain't trying to hear you. Come on, somebody. Don't even try it. Don't even go there with me. Now, God allows this, amen, the answer being directly tied to today's religious tolerance, which is unrighteous deception. And we'll show that to you a little more deeply in just a moment. But it is the deceiving work of Satan to keep sinful men who are condemned to death dead in their trespasses and sins as to why God allows this. If you want to be continue dead in your trespasses and sins, you love your sins so much you don't want to get saved, then the days are coming where God is going to let you have your way. It's finally going to be all over. You won't have to hear Pastor Kelly preaching the gospel no more. The days are finally coming where the doors to the ark are going to close. You don't want to repent and get saved? You never had to. And guess what? The times are coming where you won't have to even think about it no more. Aren't you glad you're saved now if you're saved today? So you might say, well, that's okay for unbelievers. God is allowing them to be trapped in their own desires and pleasure. But what about Christians? Why would God let this happen with Christians around? I'm glad you asked. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 13. Deuteronomy chapter 13 and find verse 1. Deuteronomy 13, verse 1 through 4 reads as follows. If there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, are you listening, church? And the sign or the wonder comes to pass. Did you catch that? So there is a place for the working of the supernatural that isn't necessarily a direct act of God himself. Are you with me? God permits the supernatural as practiced by angels under restraint, but nevertheless he permits it. And check this out. He says, and it comes to pass, of which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them. So again, the sign and the wonder comes to pass, and the one who's doing the sign and the wonder is trying to move God's people away from who? God! In order to follow after this what? New God that's being authenticated by what? A sign and a wonder. How many know Deuteronomy is over 3,500 years ago or more? Huh? And God already knew things that would come to Israel, and he already knew things that would come to the church as well. Is that all right? So why is God allowing it for us as he allowed it for Israel? Verse 3 tells us, you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is what, church? Testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. For what is the commandment of God to the church? And to all who would love him in all generations, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, ha, with all your mind, ha, with all your soul, ha, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Amen? Love is the key to our relationship and connection to God, and God will test us. Note I didn't say tempt, and neither did the word. But what did the word say? Test. God has a right to test your foundation. Come on, somebody. And he'll do it. So he doesn't dangle out in front of you the temptation, the enticement to come and sin, does he? No, but Satan provides for you the opportunity by tempting you to move away from God, and God is sitting back allowing it as a test to see if you're going to fall for it or not. But if you love him with all your heart and all your soul, with all your mind and all your strength, the man can move the moon out of its place, but you ain't going to move. Amen. Come on, somebody. Give the Lord a praise in his house. Verse 4 says, you shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. You shall serve him and hold fast to him. You see, it's all about who you really love. Do you love this world? Do you see why this message is important now? I ain't even got halfway to the end yet. But you got to see, you got to understand, it is important what you believe. It is important what you allow to be the so-called philosophy or worldview of your life. It matters. And if you walk in this business of tolerance that's from the world today, it's leading you down the primrose path of destruction, because if you tolerate one thing, you'll tolerate everything. And finally, the days are going to come where God is going to allow the supernatural deception that authenticates the Antichrist as being God, and you'll just add that to your list of what? Things to tolerate. Or do you think you'll be able to stop yourself at that point? Oh, I draw the line there. No. Because the same motives that make you tolerant now will still be in play then. You're not going to just change your mind then. You're still going to roll with the program. Why? Because you're not marching to God's drumbeat now. You're marching to the drumbeat of the world. Come on, somebody. And if it's peer pressure that's moving you to embrace the tolerance of the world today, it will be the drumbeat of the world that causes you to embrace the Antichrist and your own destruction tomorrow. And so you need to get it right when? Today. You need to live right when? Today. You need to serve the Lord today. For the scripture says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as Israel did in the wilderness. Is that all right? And God judged them. So, beloved, if you are tolerant, believing there are other ways to God and eternal life, are you not now failing the test? Yes, you are failing the test, because God is even testing you now. Because to the extent you allow for other lovers other than Jesus, you done committed spiritual adultery on him. If Buddha is just the same as Jesus, you're an adulterer if you walk with Jesus. Come on, somebody. Because you're giving your love to other lovers. How many wives and husbands would permit that in the house today? I know I wouldn't. So why do we do it with Jesus? If Buddha is equal to Jesus, if Muhammad's equal to Jesus, if whoever of the 33,000 other gods that are out there are equal to Jesus, what are you even doing rolling with Jesus? Go on out there and have your fill of love from all the other lovers out there. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord, because it was the Lord that brought me out. It was the Lord that died on the cross for my sins. It was the Lord who picked me up from the muck and the mire and turned my life around and gave me a new beginning and a fresh start, who gave me meaning and hope and reason to live three decades ago when I gave my heart to Christ. I wasn't playing church then, and I'm not playing church now. Now, is there any biblical precedent for God allowing Satan to do what he does to in fulfilling God's purposes? Has God ever used Satan like that before? Well, yeah, we just saw a hint of it here in Deuteronomy chapter 13. Is that right? But you know, you recall the story of Job, don't you? You know Job. You heard about Job, and Job's whole experience was the result of God bragging on him. Be careful when God brag on you. Come on, somebody. Amen. You got to look to him. You got to lean on him to make it through, because he surely may allow Satan to come into your life and bring some things that will test your love for God. Is that all right? Amen. So God has used Satan. Didn't we tell you? He's on a leash. And God can even use his wickedness to work together for the good for you. Is that all right? But I want to take you to a specific incident real quick in 1 Kings chapter 22 to see how God uses a lying spirit. How many of you know all lying spirits are demons? Come on, somebody. The holy angels don't lie. So every lying spirit is a demon. And I want you to see how when God holds court in heaven in order to fulfill some of his purposes and plans on earth, the demons show up too because they get assignments. Come on, somebody. Amen. Not to destroy, because men destroy themselves by their own decisions. Amen. But the demons will get in the mix, and if you allow yourself to be twisted and confused, they'll do it for you, won't they? Look at 1 Kings chapter 22 and find verse 20. Just real quickly to set this up, this is the time of the reign of Ahab over Israel. Jehoshaphat had come to visit him. They're sitting on their thrones. They chilling, maxing, relaxing. And Ahab decides he wants to go to war with Syria, but he needs to see if the Lord is with him or not. Now, he's got 400 prophets on his payroll. Did you hear what I said? On his payroll. And they're all saying, go up and get them, Ahab. Amen. And there's one man. His name is Micaiah. A prophet who is under house arrest, because every time Ahab calls on him, he tells him stuff he don't want to hear. Come on, somebody. How many know that's why your pastor may not be popular in the city that you are in, if in fact he tells the truth of God, because everybody ain't going to love you when you tell the truth of God. Come on, somebody. Amen. And so Micaiah had been locked up. They brought him out of lockup, and he was asked to tell the truth. Should Ahab go up or not? And Micaiah said, don't go up. After he, at first he tried to play the game like the other prophets. And then Ahab himself said, how many times have I told you, tell me the truth? He don't want to know the truth. So he told him the truth. Don't go up because you ain't coming back. Come on, somebody. And so verse 20 through 23, Micaiah explains what's going on with the 400 lying prophets. For all of us that love to follow the crowd, because that's the way the whole crowd is going, please take due warning. Verse 20, and the Lord said, who will persuade Ahab to go up, that he may fall at Ramoth Gilead? So one spoke in this manner, and another spoke in that manner. Then a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. The Lord said to him, in what way? So he said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. How many prophets did I tell you he had on the payroll? 400. So it's 400 to 1. See, for everybody who has to see it to believe it, you in trouble, aren't you? Because 400 say, go up, amen, but only one man stood in the gap and said, don't go up because you ain't coming back. We would believe the 400 because, hey, 400 is a majority in our democratic society. Is that right? But how many know if God is the one standing alone over here and you got 10 billion on the other side, you better go with God. And so he went on to say to him that I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And the Lord said, you shall persuade him and also what, church? Prevail. Go out and do so. Therefore, look. The Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these prophets of yours, and the Lord has declared disaster against you. So will God use Satan to fulfill his purposes? Yes, he will. Our second point today, back in Thessalonians, loving the truth that saves. Loving the truth that saves. Look at the latter part of verse 10, and it says there, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. Amen. You've got to love the truth that saves. Come on, somebody. Jesus said, now here's the basis that I stand in or stand on to say that I'm with Jesus exclusively. It's not an emotional thing. It's not a mental thing. Do you hear me, church? It's the Word of God. I don't care what your religious denomination is. You've got to give an account for being a Christian, not a Baptist, not a Pentecostal, not an AME. When you stand before God, he's not going to say, oh, you were a Baptist, and so therefore I'm going to judge you. No, he's going to judge you in accord with the Word of God. Is that right? Here's the word of God then. John, the 14th chapter and the 6th verse. Jesus Christ, I quote, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me." Now, you have a decision to make. Your denomination, your church, is all saying, no, there's other ways to eternal life. There are other truths out there to be considered. But Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me." What are you going to choose? You will choose, I pray, in accord with having received the love of the truth that saves your soul. Because when I was out there in the world, I believed all kinds of philosophies. I believed smoking dope every day would somehow make my life better. I believed getting drunk, going to parties, having a hedonistic philosophy would make my life rich and overflowing. I believe all kinds of philosophies from the world, but one day I woke up in the pig pen. Come on, somebody. And none of those philosophies could help me. In fact, one day I was smoking a joint trying to get high. Amen. And couldn't even get high. Come on, somebody. That's how low I was. Wasn't even doing me no good. I'm sitting there going, why am I doing this? I ain't even doing nothing. Just spent my money for nothing. But Jesus came. Come on, somebody. And he filled my heart with the love of God and made me to know that there was forgiveness for my sins. Made me to know that there was hope for my life in the pig pen. Come on, somebody. Made me to know that not only did God come for me to have life in abundance here and now on earth, but that his very presence in me as the eternal God has granted to me and extended to me what? Eternal life. Because God is life. Come on, somebody. And if you have God, you have what? Life. And you have it eternally so. Is that all right, church? And so the question is, have you received the love of the truth that saves your soul? Have you received the truth? Christ is the only way to God when one believes in him and his atoning sacrifice on Calvary. Have you believed the truth that Christ alone is the truth of God and the sole source and means of eternal life? And do you love this truth with the intense loyalty of a husband for his wife, for whom he is willing even to die for her to preserve her life? Unless you love Christ and his word to the point of death, you have not received, or do you walk in the love of the truth that saves? Therefore, the Holy Ghost cries out to us, repent, every one of us who profess to be believers in Jesus Christ and who are living duplicitous lives, who are living hypocritical lives, who are living with one foot in the well and one foot in the Lord, talking about I'm on my way to heaven and just lying yourself right into a devil's hell. Come on, somebody. Because there are no 33,000 different ways to the Lord. There's only one way to the Lord, and that one way is through faith in Jesus Christ. And he did not die on the cross in order for us to live in sin all willy-nilly, like sin don't mean nothing no more. Those were real wounds in his body. Come on, somebody. That was real pain that he endured on that cross. Come on, somebody. And he didn't endure all that just so that we can live in sin anymore. So let's finally conclude with the consequences of not believing and loving the truth. The consequences of not believing and loving the truth. Look at verse 11 and 12. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. You see, you won't believe the truth. God's going to go ahead at a certain point and help you believe the lie. Come on, somebody. And why? That they may all be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Is God fair? Yes, he is. Because you're only getting what you wanted. Come on, somebody. We be praying and asking God, oh, God, give me this, give me that. And we wonder why he says no. Did you know that God says no to us very often? Because the stuff we're asking for is going to destroy us. But we're constantly, oh, God, give me what I want. Give me what I want. Give me what I want. And if you're living a Christian life that is not an example and a demonstration of love for the truth, that sold out to the truth, but even allow for other ways to get to God, contrary to Jesus saying, I'm the only way, amen, God's going to finally let that duplicitous lifestyle catch up with you, along with all the other sinners who are out there in the world rejecting him outright, amen? It's going to catch up with you. So here's how it catches up with you. God sends the greatest religious deception ever in the history of the world to trap those who do not love the truth. You see why you just can't be a professing Christian? The church today allows you to get away with that. The church allows folk to just come and be pew-sitting Christians. The church allows people today to show up and put a little money in the plate. And to be entertained for a little while and then go back out in the world and live all the way that they want to live. But that's not God's program. God is looking for a people who are sold out to him. God is looking for a people who are even willing to lay their lives on the line, to put their lives on the altar of sacrifice and say, I'll die for you, Jesus, because you are just that real to me. And because you died for me. Come on, somebody. And how many know that Christianity, our history is filled with martyrs for the faith, beginning with Stephen in the first century, who was the first person killed for standing for Jesus. And millions have died since then. In fact, in the 20th century, there are more Christians that died in the 20th century in various parts of the world standing for Jesus than in all of the previous centuries. The Christianity of the Bible is real. Come on, somebody. That's too real. That's too much. That demands too much. Well, we're only laying before you what God himself put before you. Come on, somebody. And we're just keeping it real because you understand that all of us are going to have to give an account to Christ one day. And you will have to explain why you didn't take his word seriously. How you went off and lived your own brand of Christianity and just thought God was supposed to put his stamp of approval on it. The delusion that God sends is the attending supernatural power and wonders that surround the arrival and short reign of the Antichrist, because he only reigns for 42 months or 3.5 years. Beloved, if you do not now believe and love the truth of God that is in Christ alone, but instead have pleasure in sin, you will be deluded by the Antichrist's coming. And let's conclude by looking at those brief scriptures beginning in Revelation 13 that talk about everything that we have spoken to you about and alluded to you about in 2 Thessalonians and in the prior scriptures. Revelation is a prophecy in very detailed form of the things that are shortly ahead of us. Or do you not believe that the prophetic word of God is also true? Revelation 13:1 says, Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard, his feet like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. This beast, beloved, let me say in parentheses, is not only descriptive of the philosophy and mentality of this one who is coming, but this represents all of the great world empires that have come before him that are embodied in him. Amen. Now, verse 2 says, as we continue, the dragon gave him his power. How many know the dragon is Satan? The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world marveled and followed the beast. We're talking about a resurrection from the dead. Come on, somebody. So they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And so you see the Antichrist comes, just like Paul said, after the power and working of Satan. Everybody see that? Drop down to verse 11. Let's see it even a little more fully. Verse 11 says, then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. Another resurrection. This one, a resurrection that takes place after the person has been dead for an extended period of time. The beast, after having only been dead just a short time, perhaps only even a matter of hours. Verse 12 says, and he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was what? Healed. He performed great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power. And who's doing the granting of this power, by the way? Ultimately, it's God, isn't it? Just like Paul told us. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. Here comes the persecution of the saints, isn't it? Verse 16, he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, and may I add, black and white, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. And so everything Paul told the Thessalonians is true. The Apostle John, writing these things from the Lord, perhaps some 40 years later after Paul wrote to the Thessalonians. Is that all right, church? And finally this, if you worship the Antichrist as God and take his mark of loyalty and worship, your condemnation is sealed and irreversible. It doesn't matter who you say you are or whether you profess to be a Christian or not. God has warned us in advance that if you take this mark, you will be destroyed. Look at Revelation 14 and verse 9, and we're through. Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Does anybody see an exception made for Christians there? Verse 11, and the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives, did y'all see what I saw? It says, and what? Whoever receives the mark of his name. Now, here's where the saints come up. Listen carefully. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who what? Keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Did y'all see that? So it's going to cost you your life to keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. But now, if you love the truth, not a problem, huh? Come on, somebody. But if you're not loving the truth now, I guarantee you when that day comes, and it ain't coming suddenly, we're even watching it unfold, aren't we? We're sitting here watching it come. So it ain't going to sneak up on you. But if you're already compromising and not loving the truth now, you're not going to all of a sudden start loving it then. Come on, somebody. So when should you start loving the truth? Now! Stop tolerating as the world says tolerate, and tolerate the way God says tolerate, who gives every man the right to believe whatever you want to believe. If you want to reject Christ, that's A-okay, fine with God, but do not tolerate the way the world tolerates that says my God is as good as your God. That's the condemnation that will send you to hell. Come on, somebody. They can believe whatever they want to believe, but don't you give up Christ trying to be part of the crowd. Come on, somebody. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. Give the Lord a praise.